The age-old question is before us once again. It never goes away. Who's going to heaven? How many will there be? Who are we going to find in heaven? It's been a question before Jesus' time, and it's a question that many people still ask during the course of their life, particularly as we get a little older and particularly as we get confronted by difficult individuals in our life. But the bottom line today is that in God's eyes, all are acceptable to him in his eyes. However, there are people who choose not to find God acceptable to them. So I'm sure there will be a few surprises in heaven, like the Buddhist and the Jew and the Christian who died went up to heaven, and Jesus sits the three of them down and says to the Buddhist, "My friend, if you could go back to earth, what would you change?" And the Buddhist said to Jesus, "There is so much intolerance in the world and so much violence. What I would change is stopping wars. I would change the world to peace, no wars." Then Jesus said to the Jew, "My friend, if you could go back to earth, what would you change?" And the Jew said to Jesus, "There is so much poverty in the world, I would change the world so that everybody was treated equally. No more poverty, that's what I would change." And then he came to the Christian and said to the Christian, "My friend, what would you do? What would you change if you went back to earth?" And the Christian replied very quickly, "My doctor." I'm trying to bring in the East and the West and the North and the South because the question of who gets into heaven, as I said, was there before Jesus started his ministry, and it's there with us, many of us, even now. At the time of Jesus, there were two lots of thought in the Jewish world. There was the first thought, mainly by the Sadducees, that all Jews would be saved. And then there was the thought primarily by the Pharisees that what we call the remnant, there will only be some saved. And Jesus would have been well aware of that challenge, I suppose, that was before everybody when they asked the question, who will be saved? How many? So Jesus uses this conversation today. It's probably been said much before this actual event because he's on his way to Jerusalem. And he's using the Jewish context to direct the question and the answer, or the non-answer really, to the disciples that are there. And it just says somebody asked him the question. So the scripture isn't pointing its finger at anybody. It's highlighting the question that people are always so quick to judge. And the scripture is telling us, leave the judgment to God. You worry about yourself. And therefore the image of the narrow gate comes in. In every village that was a walled village and a town in Jesus' time, there was the main entry that could be closed off to keep out people who were hostile. And you could see the same thing in the castles. In nearly every castle, there is a grand main entry. In the village, to the side or around the back, there is a small gate. It's not easy to find, and more often than not, in hostile times, it was used as perhaps the way to escape. It was also used to bring in certain trade, small trade, perhaps valuable trade, that you would not want too much exposure with coming through the busyness of the main gate. And the same with the castle. It was never easy to find usually, but it was an essential part, especially if the castle was under siege and they needed to get some things in and out, spies, for example. Now, Jesus is saying, take the narrow gate. The narrow gate, or the narrow door, is not easy to find. The main door, very easy to find. And everybody wants to go there. So the Jews all thought that they would be A-listers. They are the VIP members. They would all go and get through. And Jesus is saying that's not the way it is. The way in our life, the way to salvation is actually very difficult to navigate. And the second reading highlights that in the disciplinary sense. It's very difficult. There are lots and lots of challenges. And you need to travel light. Don't go puffing your chest out and thinking that you're great because you're using the grand entry. No, you bend over, you humble yourself, and you travel light so that you can use the narrow door, the small door. And as we reflect on our life and look on our life, there are moments when we are put in a position where pride elevates us to some degree and we make ourselves a little grander perhaps than what we probably are. Jesus is saying exactly the opposite. Your salvation depends on your behaviour and your relationship with God and neighbour here and now. And the question about who will be saved and how many, you know, it raises two truths as I look at it. The first truth that question raises is that God is love. God can do nothing other than love. And love is demonstrating kindness to others in the human sense. God can't do anything in the negative. So God is not going to treat us as marionettes or as puppets on a string and pull us when you're a good boy today and tomorrow I'm going to judge you as a not a good boy. No, we judge ourselves all the time. That's not what our life is about. The second truth, after God is love and therefore we will be, our salvation depends on the quality and the quantity of our loving, the second truth is that we are free. We are free to choose how to behave. God will not force that upon us. And there are people who choose to behave badly or in an unloving way. They're in all of our lives. They are challenges. Some of these characters are there. They're challenges constantly in our lives. But it's the way in which we respond, how we respond to those challenges with individuals in our life, that will mean whether we're getting through the narrow door or we're going to make a loud noise and kick and scream and go through the front door with an expectation that I am better than somebody else. Scripture clearly says to us that, no, the people who are going to be there, they're going to come from the north and the south and the east and the west. And there will be surprises. So it's not that we should expect our salvation. That is a promise that is given to us, but it comes with a proviso that we are loving people. The quantity and the quality of our kindness to others, and the quality and the quantity of our kindness to God and with God. In order to do that, that makes our life very difficult, as I have said. So at this time, choose the narrow door. Choose, in a sense, to be focused certainly on your salvation individually. Don't be worrying about everybody else. Are they going to get there or not by our judgment? Lead by example and our families and our friends and those who have not yet known the love and mercy of our God in Jesus Christ, they will see in us that, I don't know where they're headed, that bloke, but I want to follow him or her because they have something that I need in my life. And despite the turmoil at times, there is great peace. And perhaps that peace comes around in our life because I choose to travel light. I choose not to involve myself in things that are no matter of mine, including judgment. I travel light, I focus on my salvation, and my whole ministry in life is to make sure that I demonstrate by what I say and what I do that God is love. And then others may just be the recipient of God's love through my ability to mediate that. And that is my ministry. And you each have a ministry of your own. And some of you, depending on your age, will still be discovering what that is and how do I live that out. Don't worry about who's going to be there. Don't worry about the numbers. Worry about the here and the now and the quantity and the quality of my loving God and loving neighbour.